May the grace and peace of our sweet Savior, Jesus Christ, infuse you with his love. Amen. My very dear and precious heart dwellers, I am in a unique position here on the mountain because we have volunteers who want to help and perhaps learn something more about our spirituality. And I am seeing some of the wonderful fruits of the Lord's labors in each one of them. This is a cause for joy. Yet I am finding that some have been led astray and darkened in their souls by the teachings of Jezebel. This is the scripture the Lord brought to mind immediately as I sat with him seeking wisdom for a current situation. And to the angel in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed your first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality, to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation. And great tribulation really caught my attention. Unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. The one who conquers and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. By the way, that's Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. So as I went on the internet to find this quote, the Rhema popped up, I have put my words into your mouth. Well, there's some harsh words in that particular scripture. And of course, the Great Tribulation really caught my attention, thinking that some in this church will have to go through the Great Tribulation. And in 23, it says, I will strike her children dead. It's very interesting about Jezebel's children, because when I came out of the New Age, one day I was fasting and praying in tongues, and the Lord had me renounce the 70 sons of Jezebel. And that represented the different practices that I'd been involved in the New Age. Okay, so moving right along. Guys, the Lord is revealing to me through some visitors that they've embraced much of what Jesus has spoken on this channel and put it into practice. As a result, they have many good works, and their focus is on pleasing the Lord by doing his will. But along with that, some feel they have embraced the truth. Truth that borders on esoteric and ancient, and are practicing it, so they do not necessarily need further instruction, because they've gone deeper than others, and they believe the Lord has led them there. They also believe that they hear clearly from the Lord and do not need correction or to submit their beliefs to anyone. Dear ones, even Paul submitted to Christ's chosen representative on earth, Peter. Yet he did not hesitate to correct Peter when he erred. We need the wisdom of the body, and especially those God has placed over us to protect us, and the faith. Now, here I have to say that I know how these people feel, because I was very threatened by Christians, certain Christians that I felt didn't have the same understanding or knowledge, hadn't been in the same place, coming from the same place that I came from. In fact, there was one very real incident. When I first became a Christian, I went to a Bible study, and it was done on the book, Lord, Change Me, which, by the way, is a wonderful book, and it's part of the basis of the reason why we use Rhema so much. Well, in this class was this nice, neat, little prissy Christian girl, and here I am, having just gotten rid of all my beads and leather and feathers and everything else, thinking, with my pyramids and my crystals, thinking I just, the cat's meow, you know? But I was there to learn, and I knew that I had to learn. But she brought up something about meditation. Now, there's nothing wrong with meditation upon scripture, meditation upon the face of Jesus, meditation on holy things. But she was calling into question the practice of meditation in general, like in transcendental meditation, which I had been doing. And I took exception to what she said. I was offended. Well, that night I had a dream. And in this dream, we were in a dark cave with the Lord Jesus. He walked in with a bowl of porridge, and he said, "Those who have the words of truth, I will feed this porridge." And he gave it to everyone in the cave, except for, guess who? Me. I was so humbled. And so I started to take another look at those different practices that I had been engaging in the New Age, that I thought, well, there can't be any harm in that. Oh, no? Well, the Lord showed me that there was. And I want to say that there are some places sometimes that the Lord does take us to learn things about evil. For instance, John Paul II carried around the Communist Manifesto everywhere he went. He studied it carefully. Not because he was a communist, but because he had to give an answer in Christ to the deceptions that are contained in it. So, I understand being very protective of the direction the Lord has led us in the past. I really do. But somewhere along the line, if the Lord brings you into a situation in a community where you are to trust someone in that community, and they have to earn your trust, you can't just give it to them. They do have to earn it. But it is a process. And through that process of trusting, going a little bit at a time, if there's error in your life that is recognized, you want to get rid of it. You don't want to have it there. And that's what the elders are for, to help you get rid of it. So, continuing on, as a result of having been embracing the teachings of Jesus on the channel, they are full of good works, and their focus is totally on his will. And yet there's a shadow of confusion there. Along with that, some feel they've embraced the truth, truth that borders on esoteric and ancient, as I said before, and are practicing it. These things kind of seep into your thinking. So they do not necessarily need further instruction because they have gone deeper than others, and they believe the Lord has led them there. So that's a no-go zone for someone who talks to them. They also believe that they hear clearly from the Lord and that there's not a familiar spirit coming in and out there, and do not need correction or to submit their beliefs to anyone. God has placed people over us to protect us, and sometimes he sends you to a place where there's a person that can be trusted, But you have to open up and be transparent. Otherwise, these things won't get addressed. If you're defensive, I want to address those feelings of defensiveness here. It's not a matter of ego or proving yourself right or smarter or superior. It's a matter of cleaving to the truth and rejecting lies, ancient lies begun in the first century church. And for this difficult undertaking, we need the wisdom of the elders and a teachable spirit. As these visitors share their stories of their lives and conversions and how God has led them, I pick up on shadows, that is, a certain darkness. When I even suggest there may be error or something that's not right, the darkness in them recoils and defenses go up. These are areas they are convinced God has led them through. Therefore, no one can call them into question. As a result, they begin to feel uncomfortable around me, and sometimes that is their dark company recoiling in the light. I'm not saying I know everything, but having been in the New Age for 14 years, I have a keen sense of smell when it comes to demon rats and their effluent. I want to help these souls, but I can't. The demon within them recoils and they become defensive. But having rejected Christianity for agnostic theories in my early years, I began at the very bottom of the spiritual ladder seeking the truth. And this journey took me through Eastern religions and different occultic practices, numerology, astrology, the I Ching, transcendental meditation, Scientology, Native American spiritism, tarot card reading, and even studying to become a trance medium for 14 years before he delivered me one night in a spectacular show of power that I couldn't question. It was Almighty God, and there was nothing to compare to that. And that's in my conversion story on the channel. In spite of that, I still bucked some of the Christian teachings. I was very prideful, self-assured, that I had a deeper knowledge than these born-again Christians. But my hunger for the truth, thanks be to God, overshadowed that. Now at the tender age of 74, the Lord has helped me to recognize error in the guise of greater wisdom, a certain sense of privilege that souls who are being led astray always seem to have, a sense of superiority, a sense of having gone deeper, a sense of the esoteric. And that odor is a sure giveaway that they've been seduced into believing they are wiser than others by very subtle demons who play on their need to be an authority, on their vanity, and on their pride. At this point, the Lord broke in. He began, "You see, my people, many of you have heard my voice and dwelt in my presence, but there are shadows in your souls, shadows of pride, self-righteousness, obstinacy. Some of you are influenced by the need to be knowledgeable, and so you are slowly seduced away from the truth by the deep things of Satan. It satisfies a certain need to know more than others, to be better than others, to be more spiritual, to be distinguished by your well-rounded knowledge that goes beyond the ordinary Christian. Yes, you feel very good about yourself because you've gone deeper than the others. You've isolated yourselves from the wisdom of the elders and see yourselves as authorities with hidden knowledge having been given you. May I say that indeed, you do have knowledge, but it is not always the knowledge that leads to righteousness, peace, and joy. How I long to reach in and pull this filth from your hearts. But you are so self-secure and sure of yourselves that you will not let anyone correct you. With these attitudes, you are being led astray and cannot be corrected. This pride in self-righteousness is so strong that it is destroying even your marriages and families. You are not sufficiently grounded in sound doctrine to recognize your plight. And whenever you get close to the truth, or someone I sent into your life to reveal the truth, the demons quickly find ways to whisk you away from the danger, a vague, uncomfortable feeling, and the very real threat that such vessels pose to the Dark One's secure control in your life. And at this point, he brought up 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Hold on to the pattern, 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching you have heard from me, with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. And again, in this particular version, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. So it's throughout the scriptures. There was another verse here, God's Word's translation, which I like. A time will come when people will not listen to accurate teachings. Instead, they will follow their own desires and surround themselves with teachers who tell them what they want to hear. Now, another mark of this presence of the Jezebel spirit is that the soul's life is in confusion. They are still being led around the mountain by the Lord. Not truly knowing their mission in life, they have not yet entered their promised land. There's good reason for that. Jesus has not yet brought them into the ministry he has for them because they would replicate error. I was so full of error, it took him 50 years before he could trust me in ministry. And I still make mistakes and need correction, even on a daily basis. Not only is there confusion and difficulty in discerning the direction one must go, there are serious problems in their relationships and marriages because of pride and spiritual blindness, because they don't recognize the areas and attitudes in themselves that are being controlled by the enemy. They feel great frustration and are easily affronted, reacting in anger or self-pity. So they withdraw even deeper into themselves, finding fault with others, when much of the blame lies with them. Oh, my dear ones, I hate this job of having to lance boils. And this is me speaking now. But I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus has put these words into my mouth in the hopes that something, somewhere, deep down within these souls will rise up and say, enough. I want to be purified and be on the right track. I want the mission God has for me. I'm tired of my life of wandering and being manipulated by lying spirits and Jesus lookalikes. Will the real Jesus please stand up? And see, that's the thing. The enemy mixes the truth with lies. And so the Lord may be speaking to you in one situation. He may take a pause and the enemy may come in and say something else totally to your liking. And you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I'm telling you this because I've been through it and I can still go through it. How can I talk to you this way? It is an act of mercy because I was once right where you are, with all kinds of conflicting ideas in my head. Pride was exposed because I would react in resentment when someone would come close to my errors. The demons who planted those errors have pitchforks and defend their territory. They will not yield to the discernment of the elders, and they'll make you feel very uncomfortable. Rather, they'll begin to put slanderous thoughts in your mind, finding fault with them, belittling them, and insinuating that they're just not as deep as you are. Then you will fall into judging a minister of the altar, an intimate and trustworthy servant of the Lord sent to help you, who is indeed anointed to lead you out of the darkness into the light. This in turn will result in another open door for the demons, so they may lead you even further astray in your self-righteousness and presumption. And that's what I have experienced the minute I start finding fault with the minister of the altar. I open a door to strife, and the enemy comes marching in and causes all kinds of problems. Ezekiel and I have really, really recognized this over the years. You know how husbands and wives talk. My dear ones, do not be deceived by these arch enemies. Please, please recognize that you have a lying Jesus alongside the real Jesus. When we have much pride and self-assurance, because we do hear the Lord's voice and we do see him in visions, we are protective of that relationship, and rightly so. However, because of the hidden judgments of our hearts, as we look down at others who don't have this privilege, which are every bit as toxic as the ones we speak out, because of this, he will allow a Jesus lookalike to deceive you, and that demon will play you like a violin. He will satisfy your fancies about yourself and how deep you are. He will feed you much leaven to puff you up above those faithful ministers who tried to approach your error. And thus you'll walk away from the ones who were there to help you, being even more convinced of your righteousness and superior knowledge of the faith. Can you be honest with yourself here? Can you search your heart and see if these attitudes are in you? You have nothing to lose, only the darkness that has kept your life in chaos for so many years, preventing you from finally finding your destiny. Perhaps the most difficult part of all of this is that the soul that has heard from God and continues to hear from him also hears from the enemy. So many things will be accurate and other things will not pan out. But over a period of time, the fruit will prove what was of God and what was not. When the soul finally latches on to the authentic God-given destiny, they will begin to blossom, bring forth fruit, and stabilize. This is the fruit I look for to confirm that their direction was truly ordained and led by God. Another blind alley, another disaster, another rejection, and more wandering are sure signs that the enemy is still at the helm, for he will never lead a soul into their true destiny. Precious ones, take this from one who's wandered in that wilderness and had more rebellion, pride, and self-satisfaction and so-called wisdom than most. I've been there, I have lived there, and my heart aches for those who are captive to this so-called higher knowledge and deception. Lord Jesus, please deliver us from every deception in our life. Please give us a teachable spirit and lead us to those elders, those souls that we can trust, with our knowledge of you and knowing you, who have true discernment to lead us out of any error in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name.